Welcome to episode 76, the four medias of real estate. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me today. Today, I want to talk about the four different medias we use to gain clients in real estate. It's pretty much the four medias we use in every industry, but these four are very specific to real estate that you need to be in all four of them. And you also need to think way deeper than the average person thinks about where you can go with it. A lot of people just think when you say video, they go YouTube, photo, they go Instagram, text, they talk about the phone, talk in person, they figure maybe boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, someone else like that. Going to give you a lot more ideas than that. We'll break it down here, and then I want you to take this, do it piece by piece, maybe listen to this episode multiple times and take on one at a time. One thing to do is whenever you're putting anything out, think about high quality, don't think about quantity. If you don't put out high quality everywhere you're going to do things, then there's no point. And if you're also going to be like a firefighter and run over here and do a little bit, then over there and do a little bit, then over here and do a little bit like they have to because they're reactive, then you're not running a proactive business. So think more proactively, think about how you can get yourself better exposure and where you should go with everything. First off, let's talk about video. Video is one of the most common things right now. It's a great way to get an engaged audience, to keep everybody watching, listening, and learning, and ultimately seeing your face. Right now we have the COVID times going on, so it's very difficult to get in front of people's faces. But YouTube, LinkedIn, all these different places now allow us to put video. So what should you be doing? Where should you be putting video? So YouTube is definitely a big player in the game. There's Vimeo as well. There's Facebook video. There's lots of different video sites. One of the good things is you can upload a video to multiple different places and still be okay. Video can be done in any type of format, recorded or live. Live is actually a lot more attractive to a lot of people. A lot of people like to watch things as they're going on. The other thing that's nice about live is it doesn't cost nearly as much money and it doesn't take as much thought. I know a lot of you are probably like, what the heck is he talking about? Doesn't take as much thought to go live. Well, a lot of times when we do things when we're not going live, we actually have to take and cite sources. We have to look up things, get charts, graphs, all this stuff ready. Whereas when we're on a live, people expect it to be off the cuff. They enjoy the little mistakes you make. They enjoy the reality that you're a real human just like them. Whereas when we're on a recorder and we put on tons of makeup and we use filters and we make the video and we put all these facts and figures out and we seem like the most impressive human, sometimes that can separate and divide us from our clients because they don't feel like they're not worthy to work with you. So think about that. Think about doing more live. Story is another great place if you're not using story. Story is amazing. I mean, we all watch reality TV and it's become a toxic world where it's just who can be crazier, who can be more outlandish. And it's not real TV. We know that. It's now just mass, I don't know what you want to call it, pandemonium that they create, drama or all these things. People like real stories. So if you create a story, not just about your real estate business, but showing you playing with your kids, you going on vacation, show that you're just a real person. You break your leg, you show your broken leg, you show you different things that go on in your life. People will follow your story and ultimately come along for your journey. There's a lot of followers out there and there's not many leaders out there in the world. Video can allow us to be a leader and to have a story going that people can realize I am the official person of real estate and I can jump in with them and I feel like I know them. I had a guy at the office the other day, he said to me, I said, I feel like I've been here before. I've watched so many of your videos. So if you think video is not working, think about that. The other thing with video is don't be afraid to share other people's videos. If you're not a video superstar, but you like to watch a lot, and you know everything that's going on, you know the really cool ones, and you know where to find them, it's nothing wrong with being the authority through showing that you watch and study other people's work. You might not be the educator. And unfortunately, the internet and Instagram and all these things has created an educator in everybody, even if they don't even know what they're educating you on. I've watched so many videos where people do things wrong and they tell you that they're official and they're the way to go. But it's like, you know, you got to really think about what you're putting out. And if you don't know it, feel free to share it. Share great content, but make sure the content is an advertisement that's going to steal your clients. Now let's talk a little bit about photo. Photo is pretty simple to understand. Great photos attract the attention. What's a great photo? How does it come about? Why does one photo do better than another photo? Well, there's a lot of things going on here. A lot of people see something and they just take out the camera and they immediately point it at it and they click and they think they captured the moment. That is so false. It's not the reality. It doesn't have the same thing that you felt. And you have to take more of a mindset of what am I currently feeling? Why am I currently feeling it? And how could I take a picture that would convey that exact feeling? How could I make that happen? The best photographers in the world, people with Pulitzer Prizes, all these different things. I've talked with them. One of my friend's dads, he has three. He actually took the crying Jordan meme photo and he took many other famous photos that are in your head. He told me it's not about taking a photo, it's about the emotion involved in the photo. And whenever he told me that, I thought a lot more and he said it's about the perfect angle, it's about exactly what you're feeling and conveying that message. if you look at the photos on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all these different places that you can put photos now, you're going to notice a commonality in all the ones that are popular. And it's not just that it's a good-looking person or anything, or it's not just that it's a famous artist. It's that they thought further about the photo than the photo itself. They thought, how do I convey the message that this photo is meant to convey? It could be a simple message, or it could be a higher message. Michael Jordan crying, what was the message there? That even heroes have down days. That even the normal people of the world can assimilate with a person like Michael Jordan. They understand that he's actually a human, because when he was dunking over everybody and being amazing, yeah, you got a great photo of him doing a dunk, but guess what? Tomorrow he's dunking again over someone else's head, and it's higher, bigger, better, faster. What people really wanted to see was that Michael Jordan was a living, breathing, real human being with an emotional soul. When they did that, it connected his fans with him more than they'd ever been connected, because they always felt like he was better than them, and then they realized that he had true emotion. It didn't matter the context, the time, the date, all these different things. It more so mattered that it connected his audience with him. So think about how you can connect your audience with yourself in a more realistic manner. If you're that person out there taking photos in front of Ferraris that you don't own, if you're that person taking photos where you're only dressed up perfectly, you may be separating yourself from others more than you think. You may actually be hurting your image versus gaining it. Think about when you're taking photos and how you want people to perceive you. Think about how you want people to perceive the photos, and I guarantee you'll have better luck with them. Now let's talk about text. At the beginning, we introduced it as an idea that only happens on cell phones, but we all know blog, tweet, Facebook, LinkedIn, texting, email. There are so many different forms of it. One of the things that's most important to realize when you're talking text is that it has no tonality. It doesn't have an up and down voice. When I write H-A, H-A, it could be read as ha-ha, laughing at somebody, or it could be ha-ha, like this is funny. This is the risk we run with text. This is why we created emojis. This is what's coming in the future of texting, because it is very hard to convey a message. And when we do so, sometimes we actually offend our reader, whether it be texting a girlfriend or boyfriend during an argument and thinking you said something to clear the air and realizing you've dug a deeper hole because they didn't understand the context you wrote it with, or it be you're writing a blog and suddenly you have political divide because of a comment or statement you made, or it be that somebody reads your professional thing and instead of saying you should, you wrote could. What are the power of words? Could versus should. What is that? How do we work around those things better? Must versus shall. Would versus could. It's going to be always there. So it's about learning more about words and text when you're using text and thinking about it. And also thinking about it outside of your own brain. Don't think about it the way you meant it, but read it with that abstract opinion. Go at it and say, how do I read this text if I'm a person who didn't know me? If it's totally tone deaf, if it's totally brand new out of the box, how do I read that? Where do I go with that information? And does it convey the message that I thought it did? Often the answer is no. And often the answer is we went too fast. Here's a good one for real estate agents. If you say the price of something, right? We always say price and we always use the word cost, right? Okay, price and cost. So cost. You ever hear anyone say that cost me my leg, or that cost me my right arm, or that cost me whatever? Cost is insinuated with the loss. We naturally just hear the word cost and we think, okay, it lost me money. But if I just said, instead of saying that this house cost, you say for the simple investment of $350,000, this could be your home of the future. Now, the word investment over time, contextually, believe everybody knows that when you invest, you get more back on the back end of the return. So if you're talking about houses and cost or prices, you may be doing yourself a disservice versus thinking about ways to talk more about the investment side of it. Because the reality is, if you're a true fiduciary and you believe in your product, you have no problem knowing that real estate is an investment. It's the largest investment most people make in their life. If you're treating it as anything other than a business and an investment, you're starting to get to the emotional side of real estate, which is where people buy the wrong houses, where people buy overpriced houses, where people spend too much or have terrible terms, and in the long run, they don't end up liking you as an agent. Because when they go to sell again, they find out that things went wrong. When they go to sell again and they find out that you, the appraiser, messed their price up, they know. This is something we got to be really careful of. So guys, let's work on, when we're writing text, thinking about the exact way we're reading it and writing it. How does it read? Again, one more way I'll say it to you. We all write MLS listings and everything. When somebody says adorable or cute or any of these things with a home, what do we think? Small, right? So be careful how you write your text, because when you say these things, they sometimes confer a different message than you meant. You might have meant cute because it has a really nice paint job and it's got pink window boxes and it's got a cute feel to it, but it's a 2,800 square foot colonial that's unbelievable. And you just got to be careful when you're writing text. Last but not least, let's talk about talking in person. Right now, during COVID times, it's certainly a challenge for certain people, but if you're missing out on this opportunity that has come with COVID, I feel bad for you. A lot of people are sitting inside waiting for things to surface, waiting for the dust to settle, waiting for the masks to settle, waiting for Fauci to give them another opinion. Whatever they're waiting for things. Reality is your life is passing you by and you have negative time that you've now lost and you're not going to be able to make up for. You don't have to go out there and expose yourself to a million people. You don't have to go out there, take your mask off. You don't have to do any of that. But what you do have to do is stay busy and stay networking. Places we can network, we can still go out, order to-go food, stand there, talk to some of our favorite restaurant owners. We can reach out, see if people need help opening their businesses, see if we could just make a post or a video or a photo or some text about their business, but talking to them in person about it. We have people at work. We see people at work. Are you still networking with them, or are you being the weirdo that because we have COVID now walks out of the building without saying hello to anybody? Do not let COVID times or anything ruin talking in person. There's so much to be valued in having good conversation with people. If you can't do it indoors because you're too nervous, go outside, separate yourself, talk a little louder than you normally would, but make sure to live your life. Make sure to follow along with the things you've been doing before, because holding yourself up in there and hiding out is not going to keep your business going. For a lot of people that are in this industry in real estate, let's be honest, they have older age groups. If you lose hold now, how many years is it going to take you to come back? Is it really going to come back, or are you just going to leave this industry and leave it to the young people who are out there moving and grooving? Don't let that happen to you. You can be on video, you can be on photos, you can be on text, and you also can go talk in person outside. We have schools. If you aren't going to school anymore, maybe you should be reaching out to your school chums and reaching out and saying, hey, let's meet over at such and such park and go for a walk together. Get in touch with people again. Stop hiding from everybody. We are an industry of a glass life where we need to be in front of people. We need everyone to see us, and we need to say, hey, look at me. And here you are, holed up in a house, trying to figure out how to recombobulate with the world. That's not a good place to be. Last but not least, on people to talk to, family. Family, you'd be surprised. Everyone always thinks like, oh, my brother might not know anyone. He's only 14. Well, guess what? Your brother goes over his 14-year-old friend's houses, and he might tell his friend, and his friend happens to hear his parents say they're selling the house, and they mention it to them. Realize that a lot of the referral-type business is long-form in real estate. It's not short-form. It's not these morons that run around saying, hey, do you know anyone who wants to buy or sell? No? Bye. Okay. Thanks. It's like, no, that's not how it's made. It's like, how was your week? It was good. I had a nice closing last week. Real estate's been really exciting. How about your week? I don't even say, do you want to buy or sell with me? I just let people know that I'm in the business of real estate. In long form, that's going to get people more attracted. They're used to every salesperson in the world. They're used to people saying, oh, you want to buy or sell with me? Do you know how many people on my wall when it comes to Facebook every day post something as desperate as can possibly be? Do you want to buy or sell? Call me now. Today's the best day in the market. You need to sell today. I've heard that term so many times. I have 2,000 something friends on Facebook, most of them in real estate, and I hear it every day and I'm like, can't you come up with something new? Can't you just have some sort of spin? Can't you put together something that's just a little more exciting than a freaking postcard that I get in my mailbox that I normally would have thrown away and annoys me and now is in my place, in my fun zone, in my Facebooks, my Instagrams, my spot that I thought was just like the cool spot to go fantasize about vacations and all these different things. And here you are telling me to buy something off you. I'm okay if you show off a little bit saying, hey, I just got a new listing or things like that, but that's showing success. Showing desperation is not what we want to be doing in any of these times. And also think about it. It's not faking it till you make it in the world. It's about believing in yourself. A lot of people say, oh, fake it till you make it. That's kind of discrediting people who have trust in themselves and know that they're going to go out there and work hard. I can guarantee you if you outstudy your competition, you outwork your competition, and you show up every day, you'll be in a whole new place in absolutely no time. Thanks for listening to the podcast this week. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to PM me, DM me, call me, whatever works best for you. Make sure to tell all your friends and family to subscribe, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you.